Good morning, everybody. Good to see everyone here this morning. And congratulations, Chris and Chris. And that was, I gotta say, a pretty sweet wedding proposal. He plays guitar. I mean, it was pretty cool. You gotta ask him about it. It was wonderful. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of it. It was good stuff. So, all right, let's go ahead and begin. Eddie, thank you for the songs you led. And the last one, Did You Think to Pray? Obviously, in the overhead, you can see Did You Think to Pray for Me is the title of the lesson. So I don't want you to just think of me, but think of Paul maybe in that place there, or each and every one of you as we go through this lesson. And so we've been studying the New Testament on Sunday mornings. And we've been going through Ephesians, then we went to Philippians, we went to Colossians, we went to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and we're just now finishing up 1st Timothy. And without exception, what I've noticed in these letters that were written is Paul's importance that he puts on praying for himself, praying for his companions, but also his desire to pray for others. So with that, I want to talk about some of the scriptures that we've come across during our recent year of going through these New Testament books and make some observations. And I want to begin by making the first example here. And if you want to turn, you can, or you can just look on the overhead. In Colossians 4:2, where Paul tells them at the church of Colossae, he says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forthly the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned, that I might make it clear in the way I ought to speak. So the actual word there for devote actually means literally preserve in this. It means to keep something alive or in existence. It means to make it last. And so King James had to be earnestly committed, continue earnestly in prayer. There's a difference between those who pray and for those who are devoted to prayer. There are some that pray merely just for conscience sake. They're guilty, so they go to God in prayer for that. Or they go to God in prayer because they want something that they don't have. And yet there are those who are devoted to prayer. They look at it as a means of holy and intimate communication with God. And in that, they get this reward in their hearts because of it. And they know that it's necessary. I want to point out the word up here that says alert. Because when we were studying early on, when I came across that word, it just made me think for a moment, I got to be alert when I pray, or like I got to watch what I'm doing when I pray. The actual word is vigilant. Vigilant. It means to be keenly watchful. So the idea here implies a sense of diligence, a sense of awareness for continual prayer to God. If I'm praying to God, if I'm devoted to prayer, then I'm going to be paying attention. I'm going to be paying attention for those that are around me. And thank you, Hans, for praying for Brother Sam. Right? You were aware that he's down in Seward and that he's praying, really in a sense, on behalf of this congregation, because he, in a sense, represents us. How many people prayed for Sam? You know, I was doing this lesson last night, and I knew I was going to say that. At that point, I hadn't prayed for him. Right, you do a lesson sometimes, you do a study, you start thinking about these things. And I'm going, man, I'm missing the boat. Believe me, a lesson like this, and maybe this lesson is just for me today. I mean, it did say, did you think to pray for me? I say this. I say prayer is perhaps the most important activity in the daily life of a Christian. If we are Christian, then we are devoted to prayer. Through this avenue, we put our hearts before God in thanksgiving and gratitude. Through our prayers, we communicate our needs. But in this lesson, I want to focus on the needs of others through prayer. In our study this morning, we went to Colossians 4:12. Brother Wayne, you read that, talking about Epaphras. Epaphras was important to the church of Colossae because he helped found it. He was instrumental in teaching those in that community. And Paul says in Colossians 4:12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, he's one of you guys. He goes on to say a bondservant, but here's what he says. He says, he greets you laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. Epaphras is one of you. He's one of us. And what is he doing fervently in labor? He's praying. Right, oftentimes, on a lesson on prayer, and I'm not going to this, is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. A model prayer. A prayer that we can look at and say, okay, these are things that Jesus is teaching that we should probably include in our prayers. But you know, there's a whole bunch of spots in the New Testament that we're going to see that talk about how we ought to pray, what we ought to pray for, and how many times we ought to be praying. Paul's dependency on prayer is remarkable. Now, I want you to know something. Notice in his prayer up there, he didn't talk about his personal comfort. You realize he's in prison. This is one of the prison epistles. All he said, that the word of God may be spread. Although he was in prison, the word of God was not. And that's what he was concerned about. Another example is in Ephesians 6:18. And this will tie in some of the thoughts here. Right, in Ephesians 6:18, what did Paul just get done talking about? The whole armor of God, right? The breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, right? The sword. He's talking about these things that you would normally go to in battle. And so then he goes on to say, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert. There's that word again. Pay attention. Be aware, be vigilant with all perseverance and petitions for all saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So although prayer is not technically a part of the armor of God, prayer, nonetheless, is the means by which we put the armor on. Prayer allows us to give the battle over to God rather than fight it alone. So not only are we praying for our own battles, we're praying for others' battles. And I think about this. What is Paul asking here? He says, pray for me that with boldness, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul, you're an apostle, right? He had access to the Holy Spirit in which we don't have the access to that he had as an apostle. Why does he need my prayers? Why did he need the church's prayers? Because Paul knew the importance of prayer, and we're going to get to that point here in a little bit. I say this. I say a prayerless Christian is a contradiction of terms. Now, Abby, I wanted to pick on your husband, Steve Morrison. He's not here. Anley, I can't see Anley. I'm going to pick on your dad here in Dalton, if that's okay. So we're going to pick on Steve. Steve's a pilot. Hans, you're a fisherman. Fisherman without a boat, pilot without a plane. If Steve comes here boasting he's a pilot and's never flown a plane, and Hans here is a fisherman, doesn't have a boat, never fished before, but he calls himself a commercial fisherman. I guess you can lay nets out in the beach, so it's not the best example. But the pilot one is. The point I want to make here for all of us is that if we're a Christian and we don't have a prayer for life, then are we a Christian in the first place? How can you be a Christian and not pray to God? Well, I think about this, that my prayer life hasn't always been the best. So as we're studying, that's what I mean, Sam always says, I encourage you guys to come to our Bible studies. I'm just going through that, and I'm seeing, I'm looking at myself, am I praying the way they prayed back then? And I just don't think I am. And so I think about these things. Now, what I want to do is I want to take a moment, and I want to go to about five or six sets of scriptures. I'm not going to say much of anything, but just read them. But what I want you to do is we've been going through our Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and those studies. We've been reading these scriptures. So I want you just to think about what's being said. It has to do with prayer. First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from the perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Colossians 1:9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of the calling, what are the riches of glory of his inheritance, and in the saints. Certainly the point has been made here on the importance of prayer. And not just for ourselves, but for others. So this is just a quick kind of, as Ed mentions, I'd mentioned many years ago, and you always bring it up, so it's always in front of me, about taking a snapshot of your prayer life. So I asked this question this morning for all of us. I asked this question: how many of us pray for one another and others? How many prayed for Ralph? How many people have prayed for Ralph? Or Brandon? Or Thad? When you were in Korea? How about the people in this section? Do they pray for the people over here? And we're so kind of so far apart here. But think about it for a moment. When I go to these letters, they're praying for one another. How many times do we pray? Do we know one another well enough to pray for us? Do we just show up here? I don't get that when I read these letters. I don't get that. I'm asking ourselves. I'm asking myself. So, do we pray for our leaders? That's the first one that I read. Pray for kings and authorities. And sometimes people come up and they'll pray for our leaders. Do we pray that the word of God may be spread rapidly? Do we pray for our faith, our love, for our knowledge, our spiritual wisdom? Do we pray for understanding? Do we pray for discernment, for right and wrong? For ourselves and for others? Do we pray for our eldership? Do we pray for our preachers and our teachers? Do we pray for our members, etc., etc., etc.? You know, going through this lesson, you had a chance to meet my friend Chad. Chad has been a big influence on my life. Huge. He originally baptized me. He taught me early. And he's just been, it was just a very proud moment for me. I had a chance to teach a class and preach before him. I was extremely nervous last week, just so you know, because he's my mentor. And I always go to him, I ask.